Shabbat Shalom. I am honored and thankful to be here with my brothers and sisters from Beth Tikkun one more time. I have a few thoughts that I'd like to leave with you all, but I've been tempted as I've experienced the service this morning. I've been tempted to talk a little bit about the greeting, Shabbat Shalom, but I'll pass on that. But if you see me around, there's just something really wonderful in those words. Like all Hebrew words and letters, there's a lot of meaning contained in that simple greeting. But there are a few things that I'd like to leave with you today, so I think I better get right into the lesson. I'll be speaking and sharing a little bit, Lord willing, from some insights from the 16th chapter of Psalm. But I'd like to open with prayer again. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to gather together in your name. Thank you for your spirit that is present here, the spirit of thanksgiving and peace and blessing that is present. I ask now as we open your word that you would speak to us, and may we find comfort, inspiration, hope, and direction. Use me, use this feeble vessel, and may we all be blessed. Hashem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus our Messiah. Amen. 16th chapter, Psalm. Be speaking a little bit, and I summarize this psalm, and I think it is timely as I have experienced and looked at the news and the things that are going on in our society today. This psalm talks about a place of safety, comfort, and I'd like to say it points us and helps us to know that all of our needs, all of the human longings are found. They're only found in Messiah. In the book of Acts, we won't turn there, but if you like, you can make a note of this. In the book of Acts, the second chapter, this was at the Feast of Shavuot, Pentecost, and the Apostle Peter, beginning at the 25th verse in the book of Acts, he used and actually taught from this 16th psalm. And if we had time, we would kind of look over some of that. But on your own, read through Acts, the second chapter, and beginning at verse 25 through 31 in the context of the 16th psalm. And I think there's some powerful messages and insights in Peter's message that are applicable today. And I'd like to begin now in the 16th chapter of Psalm, and I'll begin at the 9th verse, which is where the Apostle Peter kind of starts. Psalms chapter 16, verse 9, the psalmist says, "Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures evermore." These verses, to me, 9 through 11, they identify and maybe point out what I would call the good life. This is when life is good. He said his heart is glad. His glory rejoices. His flesh, the physical part of his being, is dwelling securely. He points out that he's not abandoned in the grave, the underworld. He will not experience decay. and that God would let him know the path of life. These verses outline in my mind the good life. And I can tell you that the good life, the only way to a good life and the good life is by seeking first the kingdom of God. We cannot attain to blessing, peace, hope. We cannot attain to the best that this life, that life has to offer without Messiah. But I have occasion at least once a week to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. There is a group that I have a membership with, and that is a part of what we do there. And every time I hear the ideals like one nation under God, indivisible, I am inspired. I am challenged because those ideals represent to me the highest aspirations or goals of the human spirit. One nation under God. But they are found in the scriptures, those ideas. The psalmist says in one place, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." So those ideas like one nation under God and a group being indivisible and liberty, justice for every man, those belong to the scripture. But I'd like to challenge you to think for just a moment. Is it really possible for there to be one nation that meets the needs of every people, of every diverse age group, regardless of your race, socioeconomic background? Is it possible for there to be a society that meets all of those needs? Now, as you think about that, I would like to suggest that that is God's plan. That is God's will. If you look at, for example, in Genesis, after God created man, at the end of each day of creation, God would say it was good. He saw that it was good. But on the sixth day, after he created man, he said it was very good. God has a passionate, and this should make you excited. God has a passionate, deep, unmeasurable love for mankind, all mankind. Man is the crown of his creation. Everything else that God created was good, but mankind, us, all of us, are the crowning point of God's creation, and his desire is liberty, justice for all, if I can say it like that. And so David kind of outlines what that looks like, this place. But where is it? Where is this place where your heart can always be glad? Now, if we look at the first verse of this 16th chapter, the first verse of chapter 16, and I'd like to read that in the Hebrew. I think this passage, and I'd like for you to take it, and this first verse, it is a great prayer. All of it is declaration and thanksgiving and prayer. But David starts by saying, "Protect or preserve me, O God." In the Hebrew, it's Shamrene El Ki Chasti Vak. Shamrene El, preserve me, O God. If you look at that word, Shamrene, the root word used there is shamar, shin mem resh. That's the root word. And David says, Shamrene, guard, protect me, O God. If you look at some of the definition for that word shamar, it means to guard, to protect. It is sometimes translated as keep. David begins this psalm saying, Shamrene, guard, protect, keep, or attend to me, O God. We find this same word, I noticed several times today during the prayer service, the Aaronic blessing was used. And we find this root word used there, the first part of that blessing, in which we find in Numbers, the 6th chapter, Yivarechicha Adonai, the Lord bless. And then here's where we find our word Shamar, Vayishmerecha, Shamar, Vayishmerecha. And that word to guard, he's saying there, the blessing there is, the Lord bless and keep or protect, to guard. And so David is saying here, Shamranay, guard, protect, attend to me. What a comforting prayer. He says, because in you I do put my trust. What a way to start if we're going to end up in the good life, this place that David describes later in the psalm. We must start where he started. Protect me, attend to me, preserve me, O Lord, for I have placed all of my trust in you. The second verse of this psalm, he says, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good beside you. What is the source of your good? I was recently talking to a friend, a pastor friend, and I wish I would have written this down, and I didn't. But he shared with me a theological term, and I don't remember what he said. Maybe some of you will know. But a theological term that means manifest destiny. Have you heard of the idea of manifest destiny? Are you familiar with that idea? It is... it's in our history, and a man by the name of I'll call him Brother Sullivan, made this, famous and prominent, the idea of manifest destiny. And I'm going to summarize it. You can Google it and look it up, this idea of manifest destiny. There's a theological companion to this idea, but what it means in history, literally, there's actually a pretty... short, succinct video on YouTube by the History Channel about the manifest destiny. And what it means essentially is there are people, white European males, God has given them and that culture, God has given them a destiny to subdue, to conquer, to rule the world, and to bless the world through that ruling. Manifest destiny. And through this idea, a very, very interesting idea, but through this, it is where the right comes from, or has come from, to when this country, this great, wonderful country was settled. It was that idea that enabled some of the pioneers to drive people off their land, because we have a destiny that will provide the greater good for all mankind. This idea of manifest destiny. David says, preserve me, O Lord, for I have placed my trust in you. I have no good apart from you. Now, I like to think about this idea and muse with me for a little while. Muse with me. Reason with me. The thought, if this idea of that you, whoever you are, remember God's plan is for all mankind, blessing for all of us. But if you could know for certainty, if you could know that from the time of your conception and birth, that you were destined to be a ruler, a leader, and for success. If you knew that for certain, wouldn't that be a good thing? Don't think spiritually and the negatives, just the basic idea. If you could know for certain that you were destined for blessing, for royalty, wouldn't that be a good idea, a good thing? And see, I believe, let me back up for just a moment. I appreciated this morning, Rob, how you called our attention during the prayer service to the idea of thankfulness and thanksgiving versus asking, seeking, grasping. There is a part of our walk in this life. There is a part of asking. The master said, ask and it will be given. The master has said, seek and ye will find. But that asking, that seeking should come from the perspective first of recognizing who God is, what he wills for us. And so I'm thankful for this. And that's where David starts. He says, Shamraneel, preserve me, O God, for in you do I put my trust. And I'd like to suggest to you that all mankind, there is a manifest destiny for each of us. And we're going to see that here in a little bit in this psalm. But the second verse says, David says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord, and I have no good beside you. When you know that you are a child of the King, those that have placed their faith in Messiah. But even if we take a step back from that, as mankind, we are children of our Creator. And when you know that, when you know who you belong to, there is a destiny, there is a purpose, a blessed purpose for every man born of a woman. Oh, it would have been great to have a little amen right there. But there is a blessing that God has ordained and willed for all of his creation. And when you know that, we can then recognize that any good that we have. See, there are things that you can do that God has gifted you with. There are, I like the way Grant says it, STP. We all have strength, time, and possessions. And there are relationships. There are connections that we have, that you have. And God has gifted you with those things. And if we don't recognize that we have no good, anything that is a strength, I have been in circles of believers where there is something of a tendency and an idea to downplay a gift or something that God has given. And I've heard things like, I don't want to be proud and I don't want to. And I guess that's a good idea. But when we recognize what God has given us, David said, I have no good apart from you. But when you, the more we recognize what God has given, when we exercise that thing, the glory and the honor goes to him. You see, it's possible for us to use our gifts, our calling, strength, time, possession, the skills that we have. It's possible to use those things and not give glory and honor to God. But David recognized this and he said, I have no good apart from you. He says, verse 3, as for the saints, in the Hebrew, kadashim, the holy ones, those that are set apart. Who are these? Who are these people? Who are the holy ones? Are they the people that just gather here on Shabbat morning, Beth Tikkun? Who are these people? Who are the holy ones, the ones that are set apart? I would say that they're everyone that has placed their faith in Messiah. But David says, my delight, the ones that I want to spend time with, that refresh, recharge me. These are the people that I want to be with. And I want to encourage you in these times. There are those in this desire for the good life. And let me say it another way. I believe that the tension we see in society, the political rhetoric and division, the cultural splitting and division that we are beginning to see more and more, I think at the root of it is a desire for the good life, is a desire to have a life that matters, of safety, of security, of hope. I think everybody wants that. But if we pursue that outside of God's plan, If we look at the abilities and the things that we have been given outside of God's plan, it brings trouble every time. And so, again, David's prayer, Shamra Ne'el, preserve me or keep me, O God, for in you I have placed my trust, is one that is relevant for each of us. And the company that we keep, the things that we feed and meditate on. I promise you, if you watch the news long enough or listen to the news long enough, you can get agitated. But if you meditate on God's word, the thankfulness and appreciation for what he's given, you can say like David. The fourth verse of this psalm, the sorrows of those who have bartered, the NASB says, but that word means who seek after, who hurry after something else. To look for fulfillment, to look for purpose, to look for direction, any source or place other than God, your sorrows will be multiplied. I am thinking about the. Do you know what it's like? Have you ever experienced rejection, betrayal? I think about David, who wrote this psalm, and in my research, I could not tell at what point in his life that he wrote the psalm. I could not find out when he wrote that. But if we're not careful, it'd be easy to over-spiritualize and forget or miss what a challenge it was for David to write and say these things. David was the seventh son of Jesse. He had many other brothers, and he was the youngest. And what was David's, what was his portion? What was his life destined or set out to be? If we look at this fifth verse of this 16th psalm, it says, David says, the Lord, or Adonai, is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my life. And I like to camp out on the three. There are three things in this verse, but I'd like for you to consider what these things are for you and in your life. In the fifth verse, again, David says, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. That's one thing. What is the portion of your inheritance? Then David mentions something else. And of my cup. What is the portion? What's your cup? And then the last thing he mentions in this verse, my lot. What is the portion of your inheritance, heritage? What an interesting concept. This word, the portion of the inheritance, the heritage, implies the things that are passed down to you. In scripture, very often, this word is talking about land, the legal things that are passed down. And again, very often, it is land. What is the portion of your heritage? I can talk a little bit about mine. My sister recently posted social media a reminder many years ago. We were living in South Florida during Hurricane Andrew, and she recently posted some of that, a reminder of that. We lost most of our home during that storm. And so as I was looking at that, and I pulled out some old photographs of my childhood, I'm talking about the portion. What is the portion of your inheritance in the natural? Well, what is that? David said the Lord was the portion of his inheritance. I grew up, according to statistics and sociologists, they would say that I grew up in poverty. As a child, I didn't recognize it. We were rich relationally, but I grew up in poverty. And as I was looking through the photographs, there's a picture, and I am full of blessing. I know that God has smiled on me, and I trust that the things that I share with you this morning, you're able to look at your own life and whatever your inheritance is, whatever your cup and in your lot, know that the Lord, let the Lord be that portion. But as I look at my portion in the natural, there is a picture of my parents, my mother and father. This was a Sunday morning, and they were preparing for church, and they're all dressed up. And the front window on our house, it was kind of a louvered window, and the bottom three or four panes, I remember by looking at the photograph, had been broken out while we were playing ball in the yard, and they were broken out. And at that time, I thought this was just a brilliant thing. My father, he didn't have the resources to get that replaced right away, and he took a piece of paneling, and he measured and cut slats and placed them in the lower portion of the window until the time we replaced the glass. And looking at that, now as a child, I didn't think anything of it, but it was brilliant. Wow, he found a way to close the window. But then now, looking at it, that would be embarrassing. If that was the neighborhood where I live now, and there were some wooden slats like that for a long space of time, maybe it would be embarrassing. But the inheritance. I remember my father saying to us as children that I don't have a lot of material things to leave for you, but it is my desire that you would have this house. And that after I am gone, both my parents are deceased. They passed away early. But Dad used to say, after I am gone, I'd like for this house. I'm talking about our heritage. He said, I'd like for you all to meet at least once a year, your brothers and sisters, and pray together and share life together and keep connected. I want to leave this house. And so he lived there all of my life, and upon his passing, he had insurance that paid it off, talking about heritage. But as time went on, in the course of life, my mother was forced to sell it. So in the natural, the physical inheritance that I have from my father is little. I hope. This doesn't make you uncomfortable, because there's a great blessing here. And we can go right back to David. What was his natural inheritance going to be? You see, David, in this 16th Psalm, he could look at his life as the youngest boy. His father had sheep, had herds, flock. And what was David going to get out of that? Maybe if the flocks were divided evenly, he'd have a few sheep that he would own one day. But if the older boys were to get their portion earlier, maybe it would not be a whole lot left for David. But if you just look at that. Now, he was from the tribe of Judah, but David was, his father, Jesse, was not a king. So David, by inheritance, he was not going to be king of Israel. You're following me. It is a comforting and an inspirational thing that regardless of your inheritance, it could be what we would consider much in this life or little. That's not the point. I am thinking, as I think of inheritance, I have a dear friend who is successful businessman in this life. And he had for years of working for a real nice corporation. If I were to say the name of it, I'm sure most of you would know, have heard of it. But after working with them for a while, he decided to go in business with a friend for himself, like they would go in business together. And they partnered, and he invested heavily. Part of the heritage for his children and things that he'd saved up, they invested heavily. Well, his good friend and business partner knew a little bit more about the legal and business side of things and set the business up in a way where he owned most of it. And it was a short amount of time before my friend recognized that he had been cut out of the business. And he did not have a lot of resources or things that he could do to get that back. And so this friend today, he's overcome that and is very successful in a business of his own. But when he talks about that and what was lost and what could have been and what could have been passed down for his children and his family, I feel the hurt and I feel the pain. It's not about how much physical, literal inheritance that we have, but the things that God has blessed you with, whatever those things are. I can tell you that, yes, thank him. And it comes from him, but it can also create a sense without an attitude of thanksgiving. Without a proper understanding that all we have comes from God, it can create a sense of striving. It can push people. It's the message of the scriptures, the Torah, and all of the Bible is love, loving our fellow man, loving God with all of our being, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Do you know when we embrace the attitude, the perspective of grasping, of having, of what I deserve. This person has more than I do. Well, why couldn't I have been born in a different family? Why? Now, perhaps there are some of us here this morning that could get on the phone and call the White House and have him take your call. I can tell you, if I called just by virtue of heritage and they said, "Oh, who, Mr. President, there's someone that wants to speak with you." And if by chance he asked, "Well, who is it?" They said, "David Hargrave." And if by chance he asked further, who is he? And they said, "Oh, his father was Herschel Hargrave, and his mother was Mary Hargrave, and they lived in South Florida," it would not register. But perhaps there is someone here that if you made that call by virtue of your heritage, that there are people today by virtue of their heritage that can get on the phone and make a call and have an audience with the president. There are people, I don't begrudge that. That's not a negative thing. It's not a bad thing. But the moment you or I begin to look at those around us and our circumstances and compare and say, "If only I had, why couldn't I have? Or I'm as worthy as someone else." The minute we get on that path, Our sorrows will be multiplied. And so David said, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance." I can tell you with great joy, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. He has done more for me. He has blessed me more than my literal father could have done. I can tell you, and I say this as an encouragement, don't look at what your inheritance, what your portion in this life is. Don't look at those things and compare yourself with others, whether I wish I had more or why do I have what I have. Don't do that. Thank God for what you have. Thank God for what you don't have. See, brother Job recognized this. He said, as Job was one that had great wealth for a while, but then he lost it. He understood this perspective. And I hope, brothers and sisters, to inspire and encourage us. It does not matter what political party is in power. It does not matter who your neighbors, who your parents are. The mistakes that you have made in your life. The sin that you have wrestled or wrestle with, those things are not defining, brother David. I'm sorry. I want to slow down. David recognized this. And it would do us well to experience the comfort for knowing that the Lord is the portion of your inheritance. It's the Lord. And you can say like Brother Job, the Lord giveth. Job wasn't somewhere trying to sell all of his wealth. Oh, I shouldn't have this. Oh, this is too much. He understood that the Lord giveth. He understood that the Lord takes away. And brothers and sisters, this is true with us. And David, and let us say like David, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. I need to hurry up. In scripture, the cup, the Hebrew word is kos. And cup is not just talking about the container. But it's also speaking about the contents. There are many references through the scripture where it talks about, remember when Messiah was with the disciples and told them, can you, James and John, I believe it was, said they wanted to be great and they wanted to sit on the right and the left hand. And he told them, can you drink the cup that I drink? I think of the cup as a portion. The lot, one's lot in life. And so here David said, the Lord is my inheritance, meaning the things that are passed down, they come from the Lord. Then of my cup, think of the cup as your boundaries. There are, when in the course of this life, there are limitations, there are boundaries, there are things that each of us will do and experience that are our own. That is your cup. David says, the Lord is the things that are passed down and the things that I experience that make up this slot in life. And I thought about this. I would so, from this place of asking, desiring, wishing that life were better, I appreciate the being in an assembly like this and settings where I see multi generations. What a beautiful thing when the parents, the grandparents, and parents and children can share life together. And I have often longed for and long to have a conversations with my father, with my parents. I long for it. And when I see those around me, that my age, my peers, that can pick up a phone and reach out to their parents and have a conversation. And when I see that there are times where there's a twang in my heart and a longing to have that experience. I want to say, brothers and sisters, to us that life is a gift. And from this place of recognizing that the Lord is our portion, don't waste time feuding with your family members. Don't waste time feuding with people who see life differently than you do. Life is too short, and it is a beautiful gift. But I at times long for that kind of a connection and conversation with my father. And I would ask you, is there anything wrong? Is there anything not good with a person longing to spend time with their parents? A parent maybe that is deceased or haven't been there. Is there anything wrong or negative with that? Yeah, some no's. Okay, good. Thank you. I feel a little better. No. All right. It's wonderful. So what, reason with me, I like this, reason with me. So what if I'm longing for that and desirous of that and I begin to get sad and depressed and perhaps even jealous after a while, and I'm fighting feelings of jealousy when I see those that have that experience. What's my protection here? The desire, you all said there's nothing wrong with the desire. What's to stop that desire from becoming negative? Reason with me. Keeping it in proper perspective. And what's that perspective? It's
the Lord is your portion.
Lord is my portion. There we go. It's in the text. I think this is not this perspective is not a once and done. As we journey through life on a day-to-day basis, the recognition, the attitude of thanksgiving, and praise that the Lord is my portion. And when this is what helps me, and this will sustain you where regardless of the struggle, you can look at your lot and recognize if I had, you fill in the blanks, my life would be simpler. It would be perhaps easier. There would be some pain perhaps that I don't experience. You fill in the blank with your pain, with your sorrows, with the concerns that you take to the Lord. Fill in the blank there. But I can tell you what your protection is. The moment, like David did, when we begin to reconnect with and understand that the Lord is our portion, it is something like the scales fall off and our eyes are opened to the things that God has given. I can tell you today that I have, as I am sitting here, I have many spiritual fathers and men that have fathered me, believers and unbelievers. My earthly father, were he living, could not have provided for me what the Lord did. I think that's what David is getting at. Perhaps from Jesse, he would have inherited some sheep. Perhaps he would have inherited a house or a building. I am not certain. But because the Lord was his portion and his inheritance, David inherited the throne. But if you look at his life, he can point out, and we could point out all of the sorrows, the struggles, the rough places. If you look critically and honestly, you see, each of us can, there are places in our own lives when we reach the part of the prayer service where the mourners, those that have lost someone over the past year, can stand. That part of the service always touches me. To lose a loved one, what a difficult time. There are circumstances where loss of life can be so tragic. And in my profession, by vocational, I've been privileged to experience some of the most tragic losses of life. Even just this week, I met with a pastor friend, and perhaps you remember in early 2000, there was in Wayne County, there was a young girl that attended the Wayne County Fair, and 14-year-old girl, and her parents were believers, and were believers before this incident, are believers today as we speak. And I know this family. And this girl started walking home from the Wayne County Fair and was picked up by someone and lost her life. She was brutally abused and murdered at 14 years old. How do you process that? See, I don't want to sit here and make it seem like the real struggles, the real pain, whatever it is that you and I face, is not real. But I want to point our hearts and our eyes to the answer, to the solution. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. You see, when we can recognize that, the pain and the things that we experience today, it's not always going to be like that. David goes on to say in the 7th verse, I like all of these verses, but time is getting away from me. He says, verse 7, I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Perhaps he was in a cave running from his life when this was written. Perhaps he had left the throne in Jerusalem because his son Absalom has staged a coup when this was written. Perhaps any of the struggles of his life he was experiencing at this time, but he recognized that the Lord is the portion and said, I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Blessing the Lord doesn't mean putting your head in the sand, mind over matter. I think I'm fine. I'm going to be okay. 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 I'm going to be. That's not what this is. This is a connection with our Creator, our loving Creator, and experiencing the grace that says, I love that song that we sang about His grace amazes me. This is what David is talking about. There is a grace from our Creator. And when we understand, look at the real struggles in our life and know that they are real. But when we can understand by God's grace, by His blessing, that this is just a season and that the Lord is my portion, we can say, I will bless the Lord who has counseled or instructed me. I have set the Lord continually before me because He is at my right hand. Because we have that spiritual connection, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. There is, as I begin to bring this to a close, and I have often wondered and asked the Lord, Why would He even give me a place in His kingdom to share His word? Words fail. I'm so unworthy and so inept at conveying to the people of God the blessing that we have. And I'm unworthy of that. But I want to share and say to you this morning that allow, like David did at the first verse, Shamraneel, preserve me, O God, for I have taken refuge as fully as I know how. I have placed all of my trust in You. And as I sit here this morning, there is an aspect of my life that is not altogether. I have recently experienced one of the greatest betrayals, one that I did not see coming, one that I could not have predicted. And it hurts when you give the best of yourself, of your effort, in for the right reasons, as best you understand, to have that betrayed. And God, in His goodness, in His wisdom, in His mercy, in His providence, has allowed in this current trial, He's allowed people, I've run into people that are familiar directly with these sets of circumstances that have blamed or have wondered if I'm responsible, if it's my fault because of what has happened. And oh, I am tempted to defend myself. I am tempted to rally those who see this from my perspective and point out, no, it's not David's fault. David was not negligent here. I feel that temptation. But I share this psalm with you this morning because God has spoken to me. Preserve me, O God, for in You I do put my trust. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. You maintain my life. There are real things in the course of my life. I am not sitting here from a place of having it all together. I am not sitting here from a place of I have the answers. There are people and circumstances and times where though people have told me, oh, David, you have such wisdom and your counsel in this situation. And I have been blessed to, offer comfort and hope through counseling in various situations. And people feel like, oh, you have all of the answers. You have it all together. Just this week, I had a relative who called me and going through a very dark time experiencing what we would call clinical depression. And so this relative called me she said, David, if only I could be like you. You're so resilient and strong and nothing gets you down. And I begin to think about this current trial that I'm going through. She said, oh, if only I could be like that. And I've had people maybe share some of those things, but right with that, in the midst of that, and I had to let her know the Lord, I have no good apart from Him. The Lord is the portion. And again, that elevates me when I focus on those things. But we were talking the other day, and my dear wife, my companion, and I wish she could have been here this morning. We have a service later this evening. But she told me, she said, David, I had a birthday recently, and she said, David, do you realize, she didn't know what she said, because I realized this, I understood this. I turned 46, and she said, do you know that you are just 5 years away from the age your father was when he passed away? And she said, we really need to be conscious and of our health and the things that we do. And if I think on that too long, I can tell you it doesn't make me rejoice. It doesn't make me, but David, let me read what he says there again. Look at the promises where we started. I guess I will read these and I'll sit down in this 16th chapter. And again, reading verses 8 through 11. Listen to this. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because He is at my right hand, this is the daily thing, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. Look at this. My flesh, this is the physical part, also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or the grave, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures evermore. I don't know what this life holds for. I don't know what's around the corner for me or for you, but I can tell you, if you've placed your trust in the Lord through His Son, Yeshua, you're in a good place. So when the storms come, remember that. There are some of your neighbors, some of your co-workers, some of your family members will need a peace from you that only comes from knowing who your portion is. Thank you so much for the courtesy of your attention.
Shall we stand? There we go. It's on. Just two things, because Tim comes to ask.